game.
Hey, it's Chip Gibson here, and tonight I'm on the road in Ohio, freezing because there's about 10 inches of snow on the ground, but we're going to go live right over to Chad Hoover and Kayak Fishing Gear TV. So if you're listening in on the app, there might be a little bit of a delay. We're in the chat room, but you're just going to be able to hear Chad for right now, so we're going to join him live. Here we go, switching.
My way or the highway, and your input doesn't matter. Not going to be able to give you guys everything you want. That's just kind of how it is. You know, some command decisions have to be made, but I'm going to do everything that I can to make this thing as enjoyable, as competitive, and as rewarding as it can possibly be for everybody. So I'm going to give it a few more minutes. I'm starting to see some chatter from the usual suspects in the chat room. You can call us here at Hook 1, 866-486-8412. If you see me on the phone, obviously wait a minute and call. I don't have a switchboard with a bunch of operators, you know, waiting. It's going to be one call at a time. You're more than welcome, if you have my cell phone number, to shoot me texts. I will answer texts while we're live on the air. If you don't have my number, go to the top of the page on Hook 1. That's kayakfishinggear.com. My cell phone number is the second number down. It's the number below the 866 number. And we will get answer after I do about a 5 or 10 minute little intro of kind of where we're at right now. If you guys pay attention to the chat room, I've asked Kevin from Black's Camp to tune in. He's going to be answering questions about the venue, about camping, about the space, where we're having the captain's meeting, how we're doing certain things, and then we'll just go from there. So basically, I'm going to start in about 10 seconds, I'm going to do like a countdown, 3, 2, 1. I'm going to start recording, do an intro so that this whole thing is clean for YouTube and I don't have to do a bunch of editing. So anyway, I got everybody on here. I'm going to do a 3, 2, 1. I'm going to start recording and we're going to go from there. So hold off on the chat questions for just a second until after I do the little intro, and then we'll go live with the question and answer session after I do my little intro. So give me about 5 minutes. All right, here we go. Hey guys, welcome to Kayak Fishing Gear TV. I'm Chad Hoover, and the topic today is the Kayak Bass Fishing Open. There's a lot of banter out there on Facebook, a lot of banter on kayakbassfishing.com. You know what? There should be. This is going to be the hands-down biggest freshwater tournament ever held for kayak fishing. It could be the biggest kayak fishing tournament ever held in any kind of water. So what we're looking at is to try to do this thing right from the get-go. We don't want to make it so big that it's not enjoyable for everybody. We don't want to make it so big that it's not competitive for everybody, and we don't want to make it so big that it's not healthy for the environment. We're going to be fishing March in the Santee Cooper, South Carolina Lake Complex, and what's significant about March is that the bass are either pre-spawn, they're either on the beds, or they're somewhere in that transition period, and that's that magic time when you can catch that monster bass. The lake holds some true giants. At one time, it held the single, you know, single day weight record for BASS or the Elite Series, or one of those, and it's continuously put up some super big numbers. I'm going to bump this mic down just a little bit. Saw that chat, that question pop up in the chat room. All right, so here's the deal. The Kayak Bass Fishing Open is going to be a catch photo release, five fish over 2 days fishing tournament. It's not going to be five fish in one day, and it's not going to be five fish on either day individually. Basically, the way we're going to work it is it's going to be two fish the first day and either two fish or three fish the second day. So the way it'll work is everybody that's allowed to enter, we're potentially going to cap this thing at 200 anglers with provisionals, basically KBF Angler of the Year, people who've won invites to the Invitational, folks who have a bass pass from kayakbassfishing.com will be allowed to enter above and beyond that 200-person cap. So if we cap it at 200 plus the 50 people from the Invitational, and then we allow a few more with bass passes, we could realistically be at 300 anyway, even with the 200-person cap. So basically, what we're looking at is most of the prize money is going to go back into this deal. Some of the prize money I'm going to retain to promote the 2014 Kayak Bass Fishing Open and Kayak Bass Fishing Invitational. And then some of it's going to go to subsidizing the meal, the venue, and some of those things, the captain's bags that are all part of running a tournament. So I'm looking at about an 80% payout. So whatever the entry fees are, that's a $100 entry fee for the open and then a $100 entry fee for the invitational. Now, some of the money from the open is going to be harvested to spruce up or sweeten the pot for the kayakbassfishing.com invitational. And that's exactly the way it's done in big tournaments like FLW. That's the way it's done in Bass with the Bassmasters Classic. And so we're going to sort of follow that same model. What we're also doing is following kind of like the World Series of Poker model, where there's lots of different little satellite ways to qualify. So if you're watching this and you run a tournament, if you're watching this and you're a club organizer, you know, give me a shout here at Hook One or give me a call on my cell phone. And if you're interested in making your event, your series, your contest a qualifying event for the KayakBassFishing.com Invitational, hit me up and we'll figure out a way to make that work. We got lots of clubs showing interest. We've got a couple that, you know, like the Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association, the SKA, Georgia Kayak Fishing, you know, got basically clubs from all over the country, the Lone Star Series down in Texas. Lots of folks have reached out to me and we've awarded them a slot or a position in the KayakBassFishing.com Invitational. But the primary way to qualify, the best way to qualify, the best chance to qualify is through the KayakBassFishing.com Challenge Series. That Challenge Series is a series of nine online tournaments, kicks off March 1st, 2013, and it runs to the end of November. Now, when you fish in that series, you've got a chance to win the prizes along the way for each of the tournaments. You've got a chance to win a prize package as the Angler of the Year, and then you've got the opportunity to qualify for the Invitational by finishing in the top 20. Right after this video is done, and right after we compile the rules, we're going to announce the top 20. The Angler of the Year is already set. The Angler of the Year from the year before, from 2000, our first real paid entry fee challenge series Angler of the Year, and the 2010 Angler of the Year are all going to get invites to come to the KayakBassFishing.com Invitational. Now, here's the deal. If those guys fished in the challenge series, and they also were in the top 20 for this year, that invitational spot is going to convey down 20 spots in the KayakBassFishing.com Challenge Series. We ran a regional series with six winners that move on to the KayakBassFishing.com Invitational by finishing first in each of their regions. So there's a number of different ways to qualify. We're going to basically build and set up a KBF Open webpage that's going to be hosted on KayakBassFishing.com. And we're going to build a separate webpage for the KayakBassFishing.com Invitational. That way this information's easier to find. This information is better disseminated, and we don't have this stepping all over each other. But you got to understand, this is the formative. This is laying down the gauntlet. This is throwing everything together. So, you know, I've got guys from Ohio calling with the Buckeye Series. I've got guys from Kentucky calling. And we've worked out deals with all of those guys to where we're going to make them part of this qualifying event. Working with Drew Gregory on the college kayak fishing deal. And so there's going to be lots of ways to qualify, lots of money to be had. The first year is going to be about 80% of the money is going to come from entry fees. Some of the money is going to come from sponsor contributions. Hook One's kicking in some money. Several sponsors, Wilderness Systems, Bending Branches, Columbia Sportswear, Scout Look Weather, a lot of the bigger sponsors that I've had over years have really stepped up big to make this a great event. So here's the deal. First day, everybody fishes. Second day, the field's cut to 100. First day, you fish. Since your two biggest fish, I get linked in a photo release format. You move on to the second day. There's going to be a 100. Now, to answer somebody's question that was already asked, let's just say you get out to 90th place and there's peak tide. Let's say that you've got an exact tie. If we've got an exact tie in 99th place, we will pass on everybody to the second day that is tied beyond 100th place until that tie is broken. So let's say two 22-inch bass are 99th place, but there's eight guys with 22 for a 40-foot limit. All those guys with the 44-foot limit move on to the second day. So don't worry about if there's a tie, if there's too much variability and people catching the same fish. What we're looking for to move on to the second day is people who got consistent fish, people who can put fish, people who got something at stake to move on to the third day. Now, we haven't decided if total is going to carry over from day one and move on. That's part of the day. We haven't decided if on the second day that we're going to do two fish or if we're going to do three fish. So, obviously, that's the things I want you guys hitting me up with the chat room about, giving me a call on the landline, sending me text messages, and email me after the show's over and I can provide updates because we're going to make these decisions in the next couple of days. So the venue, Black's Camp, one of the best fishing camps in the area. It's centrally located right on the Diverging Canal. It's got a beach for the expo that we're going to set up. Basically, we're going to invite vendors. We're going to invite product manufacturers. We're going to invite reps to come down there and let them promote their products. So if you've got family members that want to come out, I'm going to reach out to the Berkeley County Blue Ways guys. I'm going to reach out to the Chamber of Commerce. We're going to have a paddle festival, paddle expo, some kids events, all running simultaneous with the KBF Open. The other thing that we're doing is we're filming an episode of Kayak Bassin' for World Fishing Network, and we're going to make an episode for YouTube that is just the tournament. So the tournament itself, the winners, the people that place, the unique personalities, the folks that are out there that want to get on TV, that have something to offer, that have remarkable catches, we're going to chronicle this event via an episode that will be shown, 45 to 78 times, I forget the number, on World Fishing Network. If we get it done in time, it may make it onto NBC Sports this year. And we'll also have a promo video that will be running on YouTube on my channel, Kayak Bass Fishing, BassinTV.com. So a lot of exposure is going to come out of this. Sponsor relationships that may not even sponsor the tournament, you guys can get exposure for it. You can get exposure for your business. You can sticker your kayaks up, wear your embroidered clothes, get tattoos, whatever the heck you want to do. So, the big thing, though, is that this thing is to build a legitimate championship for fishing from a kayak for bass. We're going to have the Invitational is going to be 2 days. Everybody slugs it out for those last 10, 12, 15 spots, whatever we have left. There's going to be 35 to 40 people pre-qualified. Those guys are also eligible to fish the Open. Right now, we're looking at probably $3,000 cash first place for the Open, $5,000 first place cash for the Invitational. So, hey, if you come down and you win first place in the Open and the Invitational, right now, as it sits, you're going to take home $8,000 cash, a Wilderness Systems kayak, a premium paddle from Bend & Branches, a PFD from NRS, a $250 gift card from Hook One, and quite a few other little intangibles like some product from Columbia that hasn't been settled yet, Secret Weapon Lures. Livingston Lures has come on board as a sponsor. Lots of great sponsors coming on board. Diablo Kayaks is on board. Diablo Water Sports is on board. Casey Kayaks out of Louisiana. I've had a couple of preliminary conversations with a couple of other kayak companies. So there's going to be plenty of gear out there to win. There's going to be plenty of ways to get exposure. There's going to be plenty of money up for grabs. And we're going to have an awesome venue. Black's Camp is situated in Cross, South Carolina. Like I said, it's right on the Diverging Canal on the southern closer to Moultrie. And it's right in the heart of some of the best fishing that there is to be had. But it's also centrally located if you want to spread out and try to do some research and find your own little honey hole. What we're looking at doing is a 50-mile radius. Now, I'm not talking a 50-mile diameter. I'm talking a 50-mile radius. So you'll be able to fish within 100 miles, so 50 miles in both directions of Black's Camp. You've got to make the decision as an angler that if you're going to drive that far, are you going to eat that time up? Just like a guy that's going to, you know, fish in the Bassmasters Classic and run all the way down to Grand Isle instead of fishing right in New Orleans or what have you. You got to make that decision. That's got to be part of your strategy. But we're going to list a group of public boat ramps. We're going to list a few places where you've got to have a unique identifier in your photo so that we know that you launched or at least you visited this public location to get yourself in position to fish. That way we know where you're at in case you're lost or something comes up. It's basically, it's a little bit of a safety thing. We're gonna put together a concept with some drop boxes, taking a photo at the boat ramp with an identifier that'll be pre-positioned. So there'll be plenty of places to fish. There's probably 35 to 50 boat ramps that are going to fall within this radius. And we are going to try to make this the first year a home run. There's probably going to be some growing pains. A lot of people aren't happy about the format. A lot of people want to do 5 fish, 2 days. That's just not practical. It opens it up to too many variables. It opens it up to too much variability. We could have 75, you know, ties if we do it that way. So we crunched the numbers. We played this with some statistical data from tournaments that are out there, from events that we've run in the past. And, you know, we're going to do 2 fish the first day, cut the field to 100, plus whatever tiebreakers there are. Those people move on to the second day. Top 10, maybe 15, depending on how many slots we have left, but a minimum of 10. We'll move on with the pre-qualified folks to fish the KBF Invitational. Now, the cool thing about the Invitational is it's going to be 50 people with the position, with the potential for 5 provisionals. I'll release the details on the potential for those 5 provisionals at a later date, but it's going to be a unique twist. And what that means is, even if you get knocked out the first day, there's going to be provisional qualifications where you can still move on and fish the KBF Invitational for some of the big money without even having made it past the first day. I'll give you one example. If you catch big fish the first day, there's going to be a big fish payout, regardless of where you finished. If you only caught 1 fish that day and it was the biggest fish, you'll win the big fish payout. Second day, if you fish the big fish payout and you win it the second day, you are automatically qualified to move on to the Invitational, having not even moved on past the first day. So there's going to be plenty of reason for you to stay and fish if you get knocked out the first day. We're going to have big bass bonuses every day of the event, and we're going to have an overall big bass for the 4 days of the weekend. So there's going to be plenty of reason to stay. It's a great venue, lots of great places to fish, no reason to come over there, fish, get knocked out the first day and head back home. In fact, some people can fish and pick up day money and win more money than somebody that finished 10th or 11th or 12th in the open, or somebody that moved on to the Invitational and didn't win anything, because we're going to pay 10 slots at the Invitational, but 15 people move on after the first day to fish the finale. So here's how the Invitational is going to work. After everybody's qualified, after we get our provisionals in, all 50 to 55 people are going to fish the first day. They're going to be fishing at VIP Adventures in Sumter, South Carolina. That's a private lake system. And when I say system, I mean it's several lakes that are managed for trophy bass. You're going to fish that first day. You know what? If you go fish this place on your own and you were just going to go pay to fish there, it's $200 a day. So just by qualifying for the KBF Invitational, you know, you're getting a fish, you're getting a $200 value. So that's covering both of your entry fees. You're getting to fish a really nice lake system. You're going to catch a lot of bass, and you got the shot at probably one of the biggest bass you've ever seen in your life. After that first day, that's going to be a 2-fish deal. After that first day of the Invitational, the field gets cut down to 15 people, and those 15 people come back the second day to fish VIP Adventures again for all the marbles. Those 15 people will finish the fourth day by fishing that Sunday, and they'll put up a bag limit. It's potential that we're going to do 2 fish the first day on the KBF Invitational, and then do 3 fish the second day on the KBF Open. In the KBF Invitational for the people that move on. And we may do a carryover aggregate for the Invitational, just like we're considering doing for the KBF Open. So big plans, big dreams. I know, I hear it's ambitious, but we've got all the pieces in place. We've got good sponsor support. We've got a great venue. We've got a great fishery. We've got a lot of folks that are some of the best anglers in the world. I mean, we're going to have guys from Northeast Texas. We're going to have guys from Oklahoma. We're going to have guys from Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, you know, folks in Virginia that are qualified, you know, guys out of Texas that are putting together a caravan. This is going to be a big tournament. And we're going to get to find out who the biggest and baddest kayak angler who pursues bass is in the country. Because, look, this isn't one of those tournaments where all the participants are hand-selected by the manufacturer to fish a particular body of water and only people that can fish out of a certain kayak get to fish it. This is open to everybody. You got to qualify to get there. You got to put in your time to get there. You got to do your research to get there. You got to fish your butt off to get there. And look, you're not taking home just a free kayak or just a paddle or just a PFD or some raffle stuff. You're taking home cold, hard cash, you know, money that you can put in your pocket. And our goal over the long term is to put together a series of 3 or 4 events a year, with the Invitational being the big marquee event, and where we can put together cash payouts at each and every one of these events in the big 4 regions around the country. So stay tuned for more details on that. Look, guys, that's the overview. Sandy Cooper, South Carolina, we're looking at capping it at 200 anglers. That could still allow us to swell to somewhere around 300. We've got a great venue. I'm looking for Black's Camp to show up in the chat room, because he's here to answer questions that anybody's got. They've agreed to have somebody standing by on the phone tomorrow. They're going to be offering specials on camping. They're going to be offering specials on the hotel rooms. They're going to be offering specials on the dinner rates at their restaurant there on site. And so, great venue, great fishery, lots of money and prizes up to grabs. We're going to have an expo, some stuff for the kids. Manufacturers reps to be on hand. If you get knocked out the first day or the second day and you're hanging around for the third day, you can visit the expo, paddle some boats that you've always wanted to paddle, demo some stuff, meet with manufacturers, get some good deals on some local reps. There's going to be some unique product vendors there. Lots of the sponsors are going to be there set up with their booth, and it's going to be a pretty cool all-around event. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to open it up to the chat room for questions, people calling in on the phone line. I'm going to stop recording on the video and then start it again so that I can put this up as a 2-part component on YouTube. So I'm going to stop recording. Give me just a second, and I'll name this ABF Open. Part 1. Okay, so part 1 is saved. That's the intro. That's going to be the video that we use to promote the event. I'm going to start recording again right now so I can go back and look over this if I need to personally. So we're recording again. We're going to be on here as long as we need to be. And so I'm going to start scrolling through the chat room to see if I can pick up any questions. Obviously, keep them coming. You're more than welcome to call us here at Hook One. Hit me up via text on my cell phone. And let me see. Okay, so the first suggestion is carry over the day 1 fish and have 3 fish limit day 2. So do me a favor and start throwing up in your comment section your feedback on what you think about the carryover. What the carryover does is it finds out who was the most consistent. That's one benefit of it. So before you start commenting, let me talk about the whole thing. What the carryover does is it finds out who had a good tournament overall. What starting fresh the second day does is finding out who's game time 2 days in a row, and it also keeps everybody in it the second day. So the carryover could put a lot of people in the mindset, well, this is already out of reach, so the second day will be a lot more competitive if there is no carryover. But with the carryover, you find out who the more consistent angler, you know, for that championship mindset to move on is. So what's the general consensus out there with you guys for whether or not the fish from the first day in both the Open and the Invitational should carry over to the second day. In other words, should you pick up where your total left off on the second day after the first day, or should the slate be clean? It's a brand new tournament. Everybody's got a shot at it. Everybody's back in the game, and you know, ding ding, it's on kind of a thing. So. All right, so we get in carryover. It's a single tournament carryover. So, I see comments about Marty. I'm assuming that's Marty Mood. Which, by the way, Marty Mood is getting an invite to the Invitational, and basically by being the Hobie World's Champion, you know. We want to find out how Mr. Mood stacks up against the competition when it's not hand-selected by the manufacturer whose boat he paddles or pedals. So if you're on there, Marty, feel free to chime in and throw your banter in there as well, or any of you Hobie guys out there. But the fact is, Mr. Mood is getting an invite to the Invitational, so all you guys that are fishing the Invitational, you're going to have to fish against Marty Mood, who is the current reigning Hobie World Champion, but this is against everybody, and you don't get to pick who you're fishing against. So we've got carryover, no carryover, show consistency, oh snap, carryover, start fresh, carryover, start fresh, carryover. Press case, two-day championship. We did the best five regardless of the day. We're not doing five fish, just not doable on this scale. We can do five over 2 days, but we can't do five at once. So I think what Corey Galloway is saying is that we should do five total. And so that total, correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, by responding, but you're saying the total should carry over. Is that what you're saying? Is that you should add those totals together? Clean slate. You know, so I was looking for a definitive response here, but what it looks like is it looks like the field is pretty much split right down the middle. Some are saying carry over. Some are saying start fresh. You know, here's the thing, and I'm going to respond to Travis Belcher's comment. If I get the thing about if the first day you didn't get it together, but here's the deal. You know, guys could go out on that first day and hang a sack and catch some big fish. But the fact is, the guys that were kind of down and out the first day could also come back day two and put up, you know, 10 more inches than them, and their day one catch is irrelevant. So there's a couple of ways to do this. Yeah, Paul, there is absolutely no live bait. This is going to be a artificial only, no foul hook tournament. It's going to be run just like all the other pro tournaments. You can't on purpose foul hook a fish. We will have the polygraph rule in effect. If there's any reason for suspicion, any competitor on competitor complaints filed, we'll have to follow that up and use the polygraph as a determiner of what we got going on there. It looks like there's a lot of smack talk in the chat room. Marty Mood has chimed in and said not only is he fishing the Open, but he's also winning the Invitational. So I just wonder if he wins the Invitational, will he give his Hobie trophy to the winner? I mean, I'm just saying. The fact of the matter is that the purpose of this second half of this conversation is to determine, you know, what do you guys want to see? What do you think is a more competitive venue? What do you think is a more promotion? You know, which one has more promotional value? Which one adds more excitement to it? Which one adds, you know, I hated NASCAR when they switched to the race for the cup, because I thought it sucked for guys who race consistently all year to have somebody start over. But the fact of the matter is they have sold that concept. People expect it now. And if you look at NASCAR and the way that they do it, you fish all hard all year long, and then you go to the final day or the final 10 races, and that's the race for the cup. Everybody goes back to an even playing field. So there's two ways to look at it. You know, there's the consistency method, or there's the consistency meaning you have to consistently catch the fish that you need to be competitive. And, you know, so the big detriment to the carryover version is that, is you could have a weather situation. So let's say, guys, we have a carryover deal, and the weather's phenomenal for the first 2 days, and the guys hammer it. But then the second day, the weather's not that great, but the guys on the first day got such a big lead that nobody caught anything to speak of on the second 2 days. What makes the most sense to a lot of people, and I'm not really endorsing either way, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. If you have it be fish for a day, start over, fish for a day, then you're comparing apples to apples. In other words, the people on day two are fishing against the people on day two under the same circumstances, with the same abilities, the same weather, the same conditions, the same amount of fishing. The water's been fished over one day by, you know, 250 kayak anglers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now that I've said that, think about that, and I want to kind of go back through it again. You know, so the carryover is great, and it's easy to say that just point blank. Oh, let's just have the carryover. But think about, you know, a weather situation. You think about the fact that, you know, nobody catches fish very good the second day. Is it fair to say that the best angler was the one that caught really well on the first day and then didn't catch very well on the second day? Again, though, he knew it was a two-day tournament. So, you know, devil's advocate for that whole situation is, you know, first day you got to put up a big sack. Second day you got to put up a big sack. And so, you know, what I really need is I need some folks to kind of tilt from one way to the other and say, you know, I see Adam put up the comment about the scorecard. The problem with the scorecard, and I'll just be perfectly honest with it, is it's almost impossible to keep somebody from scoring the same fish twice. It's you know, on this scale, with 300 people potentially competing, it is next to impossible to sit there and analyze every single fish to make sure that you didn't use a 19-inch fish for your second fish of the day, and then hold on to it, and then use it for your fourth fish of the day so that there's some separation. And so without having so I got guys saying, if you don't carry over, you're penalizing the guys who caught them good on day one. You know, the flip side of that is without the carryover, you're rewarding the guys who caught really well on day two. So there's two ways to look at it in every situation. And, you know, if you play the first round of the playoffs really well and kick and win by 45 points, it doesn't mean anything if you lose the Super Bowl by 1 point. So it's consistently showing up and doing well in that situation. So, you know, I know what you're saying, Adam. The scorecard thing just will not work on this scale. It just opens itself up to too many variables. We'd have 35 people on staff to score all the points. You know, Mike Jones just put up that you have to qualify for the second day. So therefore there shouldn't be a carryover. And that's a really good way of looking at it, is by qualifying to move on, you know, you're saying, I want to fish a second day, you know, start fresh. So here's an alternative from Eric Jones. I think the clean slate with day one as a tiebreaker would be a good idea. You know, so what do you guys think about the fact that you could fish with no two-day total, two running totals for the separate days, but if there's any tie, then you use the day one total as the tiebreaker? Jim Dolan just posted up consistency and no carryover, because Jim's never caught two fish 2 days in a row in his life. So I would probably put that up if I was Jim as well. okay, guys, I'm not being rude by not looking at the camera, looking at the chat room, but I want to get some of these questions. Mike Jones, sure. Okay, Sean put up, that makes sense. What part of that makes sense? Here's an interesting angle from somebody that's not posting up in the chat room, but they're chiming in via text message because they can't get on the chat at work because of a filter. Yeah, Hunter, I agree. Some people will be happy with the situation. That's just kind of how it is. So what somebody suggested is that we do a two-day event. No carryover, but the people who fished consistently on the first day are awarded some kind of inch bonus. So maybe a tiered inch bonus, maybe a point for 10th place, 2 points for 9th place. So basically take the top 10 and run it backwards. So if you finish in first place, you end up with a 10-inch advantage. You know, the only problem with that is that you run into some advantages that can't be overcome. 10 inches is kind of hard to overcome. That's two fish that are 5-inch bigger than the rest of the field. But if you did maybe 1 point or 3 points, 3 inches for first, 2 inches for second, 3 inches for third, or 1 inch for third, or something like that, to reward finishing in the top three, you know, then that could be potentially a nice incentive to finish in the top three, be rewarded for it. But then when you go to fish the next day, you're in there. So Hunter asked, will this carry into Sunday? Well, that's part of what we're discussing. Capital City Kayak Fishing. I've already been contacted by those guys, and I'm definitely going to sponsor that event. And so, no thanks on bonus. How do you determine consistency with two fish? Pretty simple. If you catch the two biggest fish 2 days in a row, you fish the most consistent. You know, I know that a lot of people have their mind wrapped around a five fish limit. But let's be realistic about this. Three fish in any five fish tank are filler fish. Almost every tournament that's won is generally not won by somebody with five pounders. It's generally won by a couple twos, a couple threes, and the person who hangs a six, seven, or eight and has the biggest stake. So it doesn't look like there's a lot of incentive love out there. Nobody likes the bonus. What about any HO events in North Carolina? Any coming in the future? Hey, Corey Dreyer, what do you mean by HO events? Was that supposed to be how? Yeah, Adam, I hear you. Two fish will probably leave some ties, but when you got that many people, it's not going to be that hard to break it up. Okay, so check this one out. I kind of like this from Lay Neal. If the carryover day one winner should receive an automatic entry into the event. That's interesting. That's actually a good that's something I'll definitely throw into the hopper for consideration. So you'll have a day one winner automatically qualifies to move on. And if we do the carryover, he may not even finish in the top 50, but he got rewarded for being the biggest bag on day two, on day one. It says, I don't think the bonus is really needed. Nobody likes the bonus. Like two fish deal. How do we submit our CFR photos? The catch photo release photos are going to be submitted on media card. You're going to have to bring your own camera. All photos have to be below 2 megapixel. And they'll be submitted the day of. We'll give you a check ticket, like a coat at a bar or at a restaurant. And your card will go in a bag. That card will be uploaded to one of the judges' computers. Those photos will be uploaded, and your card will be returned to you, and those photos will be utilized to do the rack and stack for the winners and the positions. Somebody says they like the big reward for the day one winner. I like the clean slate. I concur. Yeah, I mean, it's really looking like a lot of people like this. The day one winner gets an automatic invite to the invitational. So, what say you, kayak bass fishing people out there who are tuned in to help us make these decisions? Should the day one first place winner first place finisher who moves over win an automatic qualification to the challenge series in addition to continuing on to fish for one of the top 10 spots? And if so, that would slide it back so the top 11 would move on because 2 through 11 would move on because his position would be already qualified. You know, what do you guys think about that? So somebody said 2 megapixels or megabytes. If I got to figure that out for you, you probably shouldn't fish this tournament. So Adam asked, will we look at everybody's picks? Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to have people fill out a scorecard. And on the scorecard, you're going to list your total. As the total hits a certain level at a certain number, we will then start to, let's say we've got 150 cards back, and we know we've got 100 people over 27 inches. Every card that comes in after 27 inches, we won't even look at because it makes no sense to look at it. So, no, we won't look at every card. We will only look at the cards. All right, hold on. I'm seeing a yes, 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 yes. Day one wins auto qualification. Day one wins auto qualification. Day one wins auto qualification. Okay. It looks like there's an overwhelming consensus that day one will win an automatic qualification. So I will make day one be an automatic qualification. So if I'm going to do the day one is auto qual, then what I think complements that very well is to not do a carryover. So you get to fish hard for day one, the day one winner wins an automatic bid to the invitational. Then day two, we start over. The day one winner then has to fish, you know, all over again to be in the top 10. And his total will either qualify him for money, prizes, and what have you, or not. But the day two winner, if they don't qualify, but they've got the biggest two fish total for day two, and we don't do the carryover, then the day two winner will qualify to move on as well. So I don't know if that's come up yet. I'll look down real quick and see here. So the day one winner, how about day two as well? Yep, that's actually what I just said. And so day one, day two, auto, agree to that. Yes, no carryover. Exactly, you got it. Yep, perfect, no carryover. Clean slate for day two. All right, so here's the deal. Let's wrap this thing up with we're going to fish. Two fish on the first day, two, possibly three fish on the second day. The day one winner will win an automatic berth to the Invitational. The day two winner will win an automatic berth to the Invitational. And then the top 10 who weren't qualified some other way will also move on to the Invitational. So let's just say the day one winner finishes strong again on day two, and he finishes first again. Well, he's already qualified. That position to move on will convey to the second place winner. Does that make sense to everybody out there? So if you finish second on day two, even if you didn't win the top 10, if the day one winner is the first place winner again, you automatically qualify. And so it's not necessarily going to be two fish on both days. It's going to be two fish for sure the first day, and it's potentially going to be three fish the second day. And so everybody needs to prepare and wrap their mind around and set their strategy up for two fish first day. That's a guarantee. And potentially three fish for the second day. And there's a reason for that. So just keep in mind that you guys need to prepare, strategize, research, do all of your methodologies for figuring out how you're going to win. And so the day one winner will automatically qualify. The totals carry over. 100 people plus whatever ties we have from 99 on will move on to the second day. The top 10 totals or up to the number of qualification spots we have left over, potentially 15, will qualify to move on to the Invitational. Now, let me throw something out there, something for you guys to think about. Stop chatting for just a second. I want everybody to hear this. If somebody is already qualified through the KayakBassFishing.com Challenge Series, through the Southern Kayak Anglers, through the Georgia Kayak Fishing, through the Northwest or the North Texas Kayak Trail, or the Oklahoma deal, or any other, you know, regional deal, if they qualify and they finished in the top 10, that doesn't count. They're already qualified. So I want to make this perfectly clear. So think about stop typing for just a second. I want to make this perfectly clear. You could, in effect, come to fish the Kayak Bass Fishing Open and finish in 25th place. And theoretically, you could finish in 43rd place if everybody who's already pre-qualified shows up and fishes, and they're 1 through 40, and everybody who wins the first day and wins the second day moves on, and they finish. I mean, so you could finish 42nd and still qualify. First place overall will be determined by the total number of inches for the second day of the Open. That will be your Open champion. The total winner for the Invitational will be determined in a similar fashion. Now, the difference being that on the Open, we're not going to do the carryover. That's kind of what we've decided. On the Invitational, we still may elect to do the carryover because you're trying to crown a champion out of a 50-person Invitational. They are fishing on private water. They're fishing a very structured event, so we will determine. So Robert Vaughn is asking, how will you determine first place overall? First place overall will be the person with the biggest total on the second day. Does that answer that question? It's not an aggregate. It's not a total from the carryover. It's either the biggest total of two fish or the biggest total of three fish during the second day of competition. There's about 8 questions on here asking that question, so I threw that out there. Right now, we're looking at 200 people cap, Corey. We haven't completely decided on that. We've got the opportunity. We're going to open it up to any BassPass holder to also enter after. A couple of guys called me and said, so wait a minute. I bought a BassPass for $175. Right now, I can't afford to pay the entry fee for the open, but that's what I bought the BassPass for, is to qualify for that whole thing. If I have the BassPass, can I buy the open entry later? And so, in all fairness, George put together the open and the invitational combo package so that people in the future could buy that and save a little money. And two, we're going to allow anybody that buys a BassPass to purchase a entry to this tournament, regardless of what the cap is. So we could realistically have 300, maybe even a more people fish the first day. The second day, it'll be cut to 50, to 100, I'm sorry, plus whatever ties we have from 99 on. The daily time limit from Nick Brown, we're going to allow launching 30 minutes prior to sunup. And so it's going to be a little bit of a self-policing thing, but 30 minutes prior to sunrise. That allows you to get to your spot. And 30 minutes prior to sunrise, it's starting to get daylight. So it's not like you're actually out there, you know, fishing, you know. And if you want to start right out of the bat, you know, it just comes down to the polygraph thing if somebody calls you on it. So the daily time limit is going to be from 30 minutes before sunrise, and we're going to shut down fishing. You have to be in line at the weigh-in with your cards the first day at 4:30. Not 4:31, 4:32, 4:33, but 4:30. The second day, we're going to actually allow fishing to go till 5:30. We're going to give it an extra hour because we've got less cards to score potentially the second day, and it'll be a little bit easier, and we can get it all done prior to the award ceremony, the dinner, the banquet, or whatever it is that we're going to call that. And so from the Blacks camp, to determine where you can fish, you can draw a 50-mile radius around there, so a 100-mile diameter circle around Black's Camp. And they're listed on the KBF Open Facebook page as the host venue. And any public boat ramp, whether they charge a fee or not, any public boat ramp that's open to the public will be accessible for you to launch and go fish from. However, we will have somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 or 30 boat ramps, maybe a little bit less, depending on logistics and how it all works out. But there will be a boat ramp within that area that you have to go check in at. And the way that you check in is, you know, I'll give you a for example. I'm not saying this is how it's going to be, but there'll be an identifier nailed to a telephone pole. And you'll have to take a picture with your identifier next to that identifier to place you at that location. So that'll need to be the first photo on your camera roll, and that'll need to be the one that puts you in the position, and that'll be the one that gives you your timestamp that you were there. Now, these markers won't be put out until the morning of, and so there's no way that people can go out the night before, take their picture, and then go 50 miles in the other direction and fish a private launch. If you're going to try to cheat and you're going to go fish a private launch, or you're going to go fish your uncle's dock, you're going to eat up some time doing it, and that's going to factor into the strategy. So, you know, there's no way you can ever keep anybody from doing it. We are absolutely going to put up a map with that radius there, Mike. And we're going to list the boat ramps as well. So they do sell alcohol at Black's, I believe. Hey, Black's, are you on there? Kevin told me he was going to dial in. And so I've been waiting to see the Black's Camp pop up. So Jay Hall asked, what if you use multiple ramps? And actually one of the questions I just got via text also asked about relaunching and relaunching. As long as you take your initial photo at one of our authorized launch locations, I don't care if you drive around all day and fish ditches. I don't care if you drive around all day and dump your kayak in and out of 15 different spots. That's one of the beautiful things about kayak fishing, is that you've got access to numerous places. Travis asked what we're doing for payout. Well, payout is going to be based on the number of entries. So at 200, we're going to be paying out 20. So basically 10%. 30 if we do, probably not 30, probably 25, 22 if we do 300. But we're going to try to make it to where if you finish in the top 20, you get your money back. If you finish in the top 15, you make something. You finish in the top 10, you make something really well, really good. You make in finish top 5, you're getting paid. And you're in the top 3, you're making some jack. Pre-fishing is allowed, and I'm going to allow it all the way up, and there's no cutoff date for pre-fishing because some people just can't drive 14 hours and get there 2 days early so that they can pre-fish and allow a day for cutoff. So to answer the question, yes, you can fish practice up to the day of, and you'll be able to fish anywhere you want to within that radius. It's a public boat ramp. So it's not like I can't even, it's not like I can't say no pre-fishing, it's public water. And you could just say, oh, I'm not pre-fishing. I was just fishing for fun. So really there's no way to police that. And honestly, it makes sense for folks that are fishing the tournament that are traveling from, say, Texas or New Jersey or some of those places to be able to maximize their fishing time and pre-fish right up until the day of. Yeah, so there won't be any official practice days. That's just not practical for the scale of the event. There won't be any activities before Thursday. There will be a captain's meeting Wednesday night. You're more than welcome to attend the captain's meetings live. But you can also attend the captain's meeting virtually, just like we're doing here. So if you can't drive the night before, but you're going to be able to get there the next morning, you'll just need to pull over somewhere and visit the captain's meeting virtually via Ustream, just like we're doing here. We're going to broadcast the captain's meeting will all competitors have to pay an entry fee for the open? Yes. We'll be broadcasting the captain's meeting live. After we broadcast the captain's meeting live, there will be I'll upload that to YouTube, and there'll be a link posted on the Facebook page. So you can even rewatch it afterwards. So let's just say you're driving from Texas and you can't get there till 4 o'clock in the morning. But you want to be on the water by 5:30. You can get up, watch the video, figure out what your check-in procedures are. There'll be somebody at Black's, either myself or some of the volunteers that can help you get your stuff together, get your identifier and what have you. The identifiers will be available for download virtually. You won't necessarily even have to come to the captain's meeting if you don't want to. There is no fly fishing division, Daniel. You know, if you want to fish with a fly rod, fish with a fly rod. But you're competing against everybody else. There won't be a women's division. There'll be a youth tournament. There's no real physical advantage in fishing of like physical prowess over another. I get it. I get it that there's always a female division and a youth division at a charity tournament. It's just not that event. We're going to do everybody against everybody. You know, if females want to enter, if youth want to enter, they require an adult who's also fishing the tournament who will sign for them and will allow youth to fish in the open if accompanied by an adult. Not their buddy who's an adult, but like their parent, guardian. And so it's going to be pretty straightforward, easy to use. You know, like I said, we're looking at about $3,000 first place payout for the open. And we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 a day, day money, meaning the biggest bass day one, $500. Biggest bass day two, $500. Biggest bass day three, $500. Biggest bass day four, $500. Biggest bass overall, $1,500. Hook One ourselves are sponsoring the big bass. That's a $1,500 big bass payout. There is no multiple day restriction. If you catch the biggest bass every day and you ultimately catch the biggest bass, you'll take home another $1,500 and $2,000. So you'll take home, you know, another $3,500 in cash. And so there is a bonus for using the Hook One kayak. You have to pay attention to the website for that and pay attention to the rules. There's a bonus for using sponsor gear. There's a bonus for a lot of stuff. You just have to pay attention. That's going to be part of the hype machine. That's going to be part of the way that we keep the interest going, and that's the way we're gonna blow it up. And so, see a lot of questions about licenses. You can get the licenses out of state online. You can purchase them, print them out, real simple. Could you elaborate on the bounty bucks? Yeah, it's pretty simple. I'm gonna pay out a bonus if you fish out of a Hook One kayak that you bought from Hook One. If you've got some Hook One gear, if you won a kayak through the KayakBassFishing.com Challenge Series and you fish that kayak and you win, there's going to be a bonus for that. Will Hook One have plenty of hog troughs in stock? Yes, we just ordered 40 more, and we've got another 100 order coming. And yes, we will definitely have plenty of hog troughs. It's about a 10-day turnaround for us to get a bunch of them. Somebody way back asked about the Alabama rig. Here's the deal. The rule is you can fish any legal artificial lure method that is legal in the state of South Carolina. So I'm not going to say, yes, you can fish Alabama rigs. And 2 weeks before we fish the tournament, South Carolina say that Alabama rigs are illegal. Everybody come in and fish Alabama rigs. Somebody gets a big ticket and says, well, the tournament director said we could use Alabama rigs. So the fact of the matter is we're looking at all South Carolina rules are in effect. All South Carolina rules are legal. And provided you're fishing with artificial lures, every method is legal with a rod and reel. You could troll if you want to. If you've got a Hobie and you want to stick it out the back and just puddle around all day, you can do that. If you want to stick it out the side of a rod holder and paddle around and hope you get bit, you can do that. Any unsportsmanlike conduct will result in being disqualified from the tournament. If you receive a citation for any reason, if you get a license violation, or if you get a undersized fish handling citation, obviously we're not going to go check, but if anything comes to light that you received a violation for breaking a South Carolina law for game and fish, that definitely will be considered unsportsmanlike conduct, and you'll definitely be DQ'd from the event. Any attempt at cheating, misrepresenting your fish, will result in being DQ'd from the tournament. Now, I'm going to tell you right now something that I'm going to put out that I've never done at any of the tournaments that I've been involved with. Anybody that is found to be cheating, anybody that is, you know, caught red-handed, for lack of a better way of putting it, and we are able to determine without a shadow of a doubt that they cheated or that they lied. And I'll cover lying in just a second. You will be DQ'd from the tournament, and it will be released publicly. We will release it via Facebook. We will release it via Twitter. We will release it on kayakbassfishing.com. A letter will be sent to all of our sponsors, and everybody will get a disqualification notification of anybody that cheats in this tournament. And so, for lack of a better way of putting it, if you cheat in this tournament, you're going to be all but blackballed in the sport of kayak fishing, especially in competitive kayak fishing from there on out. Now, the other question is snagging a fish legal? That just falls under the umbrella of what I just said. It's illegal to snag a fish with a hook and line, a game fish, in the game fishing rules in South Carolina and pretty much every state in the country. So if you snag a fish, if you foul hook a fish, obviously if you foul hook them on accident and you get it to the boat, it's really going to be on you to be honest. Now, if you get away with it and you lie and you do it, and, you know, I'm a big karma person. I think you're going to end up in a car accident. You're going to be drinking out of a straw and using a little remote control car, a joystick to drive yourself to the toilet, and some mean old lady is going to be changing your bedpan. So I'm not a big fan of just over-policing stuff. But the fact of the matter is all your competitors are going to be watching you. There's going to be plenty of ways for us to determine it, you know. The fish have to face one way, the same way. So if you foul hook a fish and there's a big mutilated spot on the side of it, you know, I can ask you, hey, did you foul hook this fish or did you hook it in the mouth? And then the other lure caught it in the side of the face. You can say, well, I hooked it in the mouth. Then it foul hooked itself, but it was a legitimate catch. And I'll go, okay, will you submit to a polygraph? You say, yes, we conduct a polygraph. That shit costs us about $700 a pop. So if we're doing, we're going to be serious about it. And the fact is if you fail the polygraph, it's going to be in the rules that you concede that is the consensus. Whatever that polygraph operator determines, whether it be truth or false, that's it. That's the end of the discussion. We are going to make the call right there on the spot. You'll be disqualified. You will not receive your entry feedback. You will be, somebody said, you'll Twitter the cheater. We'll tweet the cheat. Yes, we will absolutely tweet the cheat. And I promise you when I tell you this, if we find somebody cheating, whether that's foul hooking a big fish on the bed, whether that's lying about the fish and trying to use the same one twice. I'll tell you right now, guys that have been doing these online tournaments, myself and several other tournament directors, we all share information. We all share scoring techniques and tactics. There is a very good method that we have for determining if the same fish is used twice. So if you catch a big 24-incher, a 25-incher, and you try to catch it, put it on a lip grip, paddle around with it for an hour, wait till the lighting's different, take another picture of it, and say you caught 30 or two fish that were 24 inches for a 48-inch bag, it's going to be like marrying up two fingerprints to figure out that you didn't catch two fish, that you're trying to submit the same fish twice. It will be on your scorecard. So when you write it on your scorecard, there will be no doubt that you are making the effort to submit that fish. When you make that effort to submit that fish, that is your active declaration of cheating, and you will be banned from the event. Now, I'm going to tell you something else we're going to do. I don't know how easy it's going to be to enforce, and I don't know how well it will hold up in court, but I am putting a clause in the rules that says if you are caught cheating and you fail the polygraph, you will be invoiced for the cost of that polygraph. If you pass it, no harm, no foul, that's the cost of doing business. That's part of that 20% that we hold back for the tournament operation and administration. But if you fail the polygraph, I will be, as Kayak Bass Fish Open LLC, taking you to small claims court to recoup the cost of the polygraph in accordance with the rules that you agreed to when you signed up for the tournament. So a lot of incentive to not cheat. The other thing that I need to put out, too, is that if you get banned from this tournament, I'm calling every tournament director that I know and make sure you never fish another tournament. You will not be eligible to fish in a KayakBassFishing.com Challenge Series ever again. You won't be eligible to fish in any event that KayakBassFishing.com, Hook One, Kayak Bass Fishing, or any sponsor relationship that I have sponsors. And we'll go out of our way to make sure that the world knows that you took a swing at cheating and ruining an event that a lot of people work really hard to put on. Okay, so got a lot of questions. Scorecard is the final say. Let's say you have a 20-inch fish and some reason you write 15. You are credited with 15. Yes. If you write 15 on your card, I'm going to look at your fish, and if it's 15, if you're in the top 99 and it would have brought you in to pass, it's going to be a judgment call but for the most part if you're 5 inches off. But if you're 5 inches off, you're not smart enough to fish the second day of the event anyway. And so, yeah, guys, I'd love to kill the music in the background. Unfortunately, I've got a coffee shop behind me, and they have a karaoke night tonight. One of those variables that I didn't count for, so I kind of have to deal with that. I didn't realize the mic was going to pick that up. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'll tell you something else. That's a good point there, Jay Hall. You paddle around on Santee Cooper with a bass hanging off of a lip gripper for very long, trying to get a picture, a better picture, or save it for later. And you'll probably find out a gator definitely wants that more than you want to get a picture of a fish again for cheating on a score. A lot of big lizards in this lake. Lots of big gators. So gator's not going to be really an issue. Most of them, if they're out, will probably just be sunning. The water will still be pretty cold, so they'll be a little bit lethargic. You know, this is going to be a great social event. It's going to be a great way for some of these folks that we all know each other through Facebook and Twitter and our various little, you know, online personas and such. But this is going to say, hey, let's get everybody together and we'll get to meet each other. And that's kind of the way it is. Now, if you turn in an incorrect scorecard that's wrong high, you're DQ'd. And what I mean by that is, if you're off by a quarter inch and you thought you were scoring it that way, then we're going to give that person the benefit of the doubt. But if you're 2 inches off and it looks like you were just legitimately trying to lie and hope we never check your card, then that's going to result in a DQ. And, that's just how that's going to run. We're going to be very strict because the rules are going to be very clear, very simple, very easy to follow, and there's no reason to do something. There won't be a gator division. There might be a Yankee division, like the biggest Yankee to get eaten by a gator. But there won't be a there won't be a gator division. There's something else that I need to point out. In the state of South Carolina, not only are there a lot of big gators, but they are very protected by the state of South Carolina. So with the exception of September, when you can draw a permit to hunt them, messing with a gator, harassing a gator, doing anything to, you know, other than defend yourself from a gator is actually against the law. And it's not that difficult to get ticketed by, for doing it. So just make sure that you don't harass the gators, mess with them, shoot at them with your concealed carry permit or any of that stuff. So just don't mess with the gators. Somebody asked if there's going to be entertainment. There absolutely will be entertainment. We are going to provide some type of entertainment in the evening. We're going to do some seminars. Some of the established pros in the sport that are going to be on hand have already agreed to do seminars. I'm sure you guys will be tired of hearing from me by then, but if there's anything that anybody wants to talk about while I'm there, I'm an open book. I'll be more than happy to talk about it, whether it's getting sponsored or hook one or kayak bass fishing and, you know, anything that's going on, whatever. I'll be there to talk about it. We can cover techniques, and we're definitely going to be doing a video seminar for the lake system, both myself and Kevin from Black's Camp are going to do some seminars, and we're going to put a lot of information on the web about the lakes and where to go and how to find better places to fish and so on and so forth. So keep in mind that that's definitely something that we're doing. Jim just posted up how with a question mark. I got a couple of things in mind that are going to be little side pots, little money raisers and benefits and things that we're going to do to raise money for how. We're looking at a 50-50 Calcutta for big bass that's going to go to how. We're looking for some other ways. And in fact, if you guys got ideas outside of the entry fee money, because most of that's going back to the competitors, on how to raise money for how, whether that's raffles, whether that's silent auctions, whatever you've got, let us know. And we will definitely, definitely do everything we can to raise money for how. Now, one of the cool things about this event is that we've used this event to incentivize participation in a lot of the other events that have raised money for Heroes on the Water. So even if this event never writes a nickel check to Heroes on the Water, the beautiful thing about it is by promoting this event and the qualifiers and the events that lead up to it, you're also promoting Heroes on the Water, several of the other great charities out there that that benefit from the tournaments that feed this event. So definitely looking for some ways to raise money for how on location, some unique ways to put some extra funds in the coffer to help those guys out, and potentially a couple of other charities locally that some of the organizers and some of the city council folk that I've spoken to so far tourism bureau folks that I've talked to have mentioned that they'd be interested in and doing. Raffles is obviously one of them. Auctions, you know, passing the hat, those are all great. We're thinking of adding a donate tab to the website so you can just make your donation as you're signing up. We will have t-shirts for the event. There'll be t-shirts for both the invitational and the open. There'll be a large, extra large, and a 2X champion shirt. So kind of like the t-shirts that are made for both teams that go to the Super Bowl, and some of those shirts end up just going, you know, to Zimbabwe or wherever they go. We're going to have shirts made for the champion in all four sizes, all three sizes. If you wear a medium, the way we look at it is there's not very many men that wear a size medium. So we'll just have to get your shirt made and sent to you. But we're going to play the odds, and we're doing large, extra large, and double X. And I have a championship shirt separate in those three sizes. And so it will be there. Thing that we'll do is we will do the t-shirt sales as well. If you want to buy some to take home as souvenirs, and 100% of those proceeds will go to Heroes on Water. And that's another way that we can raise money. Something that I'm seriously looking at doing is trying to get some retailers to come to the ball and get them to donate 5% of sales on location to 5% of sales on location to the to Heroes on the Water, just as an incentive for them to show up and a way to raise money for Heroes on the Water. Luther's going to be there. As far as I know right now, he is he's going to show up at least for the first part of it. I don't know if he'll be there for the whole 4-day deal. Yeah, so anyway, that looks like the gist of the questions. I think I've covered most of the bases. We are going to put together a rules page, a website, a comprehensive post on kayakbassfishing.com here pretty soon. So pay attention to my Facebook page. Pay attention to my Twitter. I'm facebook.com/notright. Twitter is @notright. You can also go to the Hook One page on Facebook, the Kayak Bass Fishing page on Facebook, or the event page for the Kayak Bass Fishing Open or Invitational. And as we make updates, it'll all be released via those two Facebook pages and kayakbassfishing.com. So that's where we're at right now. So unless anybody's got any last-minute questions, I'm going to go ahead and try to wrap it up. You know, throw some other questions in there. It looks like you guys are more socializing now than asking questions, offering each other foot massages and back rubs and making fun of people wearing medium shirts and all that good stuff. So if anybody's got any questions, I'm going to watch the chat room here for a few more minutes. My phone hasn't jumped off too many times. Wow. Yes, it has. So let me look through these questions while you guys post up a few. You know, photographing skills is going to be a big thing. I will be putting up how to photographs better. MoBass will be there. No special rate for black packs other than if you're a part of a club or a membership that gets a discount with Hook One, you'll get that discount. What's the giveaway tonight? Man, you guys only come for the giveaways? Is that what this has come to? Hold on a second. Give me a second. Pre-order black pack shipped. I got confirmation from Luther today that the black pack shipped. The invitational is 20 minutes from the open. We'll see a finalized rules package here in the next couple of days. And is there a clause for one rod out at a time? No, Robert. If it's legal in South Carolina, you can do it. No beer and bourbon sponsor. Great job. Is there a clause for no Travis, what part? Great job. Money. Okay. All right. So I'll tell you what I will do. I'll do a $50 Hook One gift card for everybody that's still here. So let me give it a second for a little bit of time. See who's still here. I don't know how it shows up to you on your side or the chat room. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to base it on the first correct answer to pop up in my chat window. And so here's the deal. For the first person to post up the name of the camp we're fishing at and the link to their website in the chat room, I'm going to give a $50 Hook One gift card to. The name and the website link. All Okay, we got a winner, so stop posting. Hold on. Slow down. All right, so I don't know what it looks like on y'all side, but on my side, I've got a couple that just put the word blacks, and then the first one that put Blacks Camp and www.blackscamp.com, the actual URL, is Corey Galloway. So Corey hit me up, Facebook, Twitter, email, call me at the shop, but Corey Galloway takes home a $50 gift card to Hook One. So I'm still reading all these responses. So did you guys get that? Corey Galloway? Let me post it up. Okay. Actually, it looks like you guys already got it. So, Corey Galloway, congrats. Corey figured out you got to put a couple spaces in there and got www.blackscamp.com to post up. Of course, it wouldn't let you post there, Josh, because everybody and their brother was trying to post simultaneously. Evan says to send you $50 worth of Hook One keychains. I think that's what we'll do. So anyway, guys, if you don't got any questions, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. I'm going to stop recording this thing. Thanks for everybody for stopping by. And please continue to post comments on this when I post it up on YouTube. Help me answer questions for folks that didn't get to watch this. Help me make this the best event that we can possibly make it. When I post up these updates, do me a favor and share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter, post it on your pages. You know, guys, I'm going to do everything I can to keep doing as much as I can, as often as I can for this sport that I love. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. And I've got a list going on the Hook One Kayak Fishing page for topics for upcoming live broadcasts. I've already picked a couple of them. You'll see the events notifications go out here pretty soon. And we'll keep this thing going. We're going to do some depth finder stuff. We're going to do some, you know, lure rigging. We're going to do some rod and reel selection. You know, some of the things that are actually fishing that, aren't just kayaking. We're going to do some more live rigging from folks that have ordered boats. And we're just going to keep trying to make this Kayak Fishing Gear TV thing a lot better and better. And hopefully we're going to have a really awesome event down in South Carolina. I think Blacks Camp's going to be a great venue. And I think it's going to be cool to finally get to see everything. And Stuart keeps saying that I don't look better on video than his girl. And I'm just going to say I do. I look better. It's a different better, but it's better. I'm just saying. Wait a second. Are you talking about the video that was up live? I'm talking about the video she sent me. Anyway. All right, guys. Thanks for checking us out. And do me a favor and post up on the Hook One Kayak Fishing Gear page all of your suggestions for upcoming topics for these live broadcasts. The other thing that I need is I need some volunteers who have webcams. Some of the guys from River Stalkers have already agreed to step up and do a live broadcast as well, so you're not always looking at me. So what we're going to do is we're going to spread this thing around, and we're going to let you guys get in on the action. So if you've got a seminar that you do, if you've got an event that you want to cover, if you've got something that's your area of expertise, it doesn't matter what you paddle, who your sponsors are, what brand you're loyal to, on Kayak Fishing Gear TV, I want to share information with kayak anglers, free of any of the other trimmings that wrap up the other venues that we're part of. Kayak Fishing Gear TV is going to be live, unabashed, exchange of information. And so if any of you guys have something you want to share, please do.
Well, that was it from Chad. I guess he ran out of time on his Ustream video there. So next week we'll be back to the normal KFR Thursday, and we'll have the regular buzzard row going, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. That was Chad Hoover talking about the kayak bass fishing open at Santee in South Carolina this March. Check him out on Kayak Fishing Gear TV. Next time, we'll see you.